Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. The Lord is here. I know I'm not priesthood yet, but it's that line is so catching. I remember as a youth worker, that was my favorite one. Then I thought, yes, where does it come in the liturgy at that point where the president says it and he's going to say it at some point? But the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. If you've got your Bibles, do keep them open to Acts chapter 2, and we'll be reading different points. I'll get you to read it together. That's page 1093. Welcome. For those who have not been here before, my name is Sam. I'm the curate here. It's an honor and a privilege to be preaching at a special time of year, a special day for the church, Pentecost. Now, one of the things that I've learned in my first year so far, amongst the many things Steve has been teaching me, is the colors of the church. So I'm going to try and test myself and see if you can help me if I get them wrong. So I think when I arrived, it was green, which is one of those, green. And green is ordinary time, is that right? Ordinary, no. Camilla says no. Mary says no. Okay, so this is the one that I've got, ordinary time. I might not ask whether I'm right or wrong because I might get some no's at some point. So we'll just roll with it. Okay, so not from green, purple, Advent, and Lent, all about waiting, waiting. Waiting, expectation, waiting. And then white, Christmas, Easter. And then this color, which you can see all over the place today, red. I didn't manage to find red socks. Steve has some lovely red socks here. Anybody else wearing some beautiful red? Great, great, great. Pentecost. I wanted to get a clerical shirt with Pentecost, but then I was advised that that's a color not for everyday people. It's a bishop's color. Anyway, so those are the colors. But then it draws us to the highlights, the three major celebrations. So we've got Christmas, we've got Easter, and then we have Pentecost. So a little bit about Pentecost, its history. So I have a picture up there which is saying birthday, happy birthday. We've had birthdays recently. Steve has had his not so long ago. Hannah, my daughter, has had hers not so long. Some of you have yours coming up or maybe even today. Birthdays. Oh, see, there you go. There's happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to the church. So, what was Pentecost in AD 29 or 30 before Acts? Pentecost was the second major festival of the Jewish year after Passover and still is in the East. And this name was derived from the Greek word, any Greek scholars here? Pentecostis. Pentecosti, the word. 50. 50. Clause 5 with a 0. 50. 50 days after Passover. It was the time of offering first fruits of the wheat harvest. So also called Whitsun. Okay, lots to learn. I love it because we keep learning. We're all learning together. But then this year was significant because at Passover was when the death and resurrection happened. And then at Pentecost, this is what happens. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it and I'll read. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Birthday. What's happening at that point? Jesus is saying to them, I am calling you to go out, to go beyond where you are. That's the launch. That's the birth of the church. A lot of these disciples, Peter, James, John, perhaps had never been out of their own countries before. Now, here's a flavor of some countries. Somebody saw this map in the previous service and said, "Ooh, there was no New Zealand on your map." And I said, yes, this is not an exhaustive map of the whole world. It's just a face of one. When you've got a globe, you can see the whole thing. And so there's a little flavor. Some of those people had never been out of their own countries. They had been in one place. But Jesus himself calls them and says, you cannot do this on your own. I will give you my Holy Spirit who will empower you. He will enable you. And so I've just drawn out, this is a subject I was asking Steve, how much time do I have for this one? Could I do more than 20? I know, but we got the standard time because there's so much there. And in your connect groups, maybe you could take this away and read it and tease out a lot more from there. I'm just going to try being the keyword and focus on these three areas, what I draw out of this. The disciples waited, united in prayer. They experienced or encountered the Holy Spirit, and they were rooted in the scriptures. I preached on unity, and so I won't dwell on that too much. But my question this morning, Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. As I highlight these verses, I won't read them, so just cast your eyes on them and see or check what I'm saying as I do that. My question is, what does waiting on God in prayer look like for you in your own context? At work, at home, perhaps you're in a suburb like this, in an estate, on the Grove. What does it look like for you in uni, at school? Different towns close to us, Greenford, Hanwell, Northolt, Ruislip, and the list goes on. What does waiting on God look like for you? As a child, I loved accompanying my dad when he went to preach, and I had him use these words one time. He said, prayer is the heartbeat of the church. And my question that stayed with me after that conversation was, Daddy, does that mean that if the church doesn't pray, it dies? I was about 7 or 8. If it's the heartbeat of the church, then does that mean if the church doesn't pray, it dies? Think about that. Brothers and sisters, prayer is the preparation for everything that we wish to do in Christ. At St. Stephen's throughout the week, we have morning prayer at 8. We also have a monthly prayer once on the first Tuesday of the month, a prayer and praise. We start every meeting gathered in prayer, making space for the Holy Spirit, learning from our forefathers and mothers. The disciples were also gathered in unity. And I won't dwell on the subject of unity for long because I preached on that recently. But what strikes me is that people traveled. So at this festival of Pentecost, they would travel and gather from everywhere, coming to Jerusalem. And it's interesting that Jesus chooses this time when he knows everybody is gathered to send the Holy Spirit. There is something there. And as when I preached on unity, there's something about the Spirit breaking out. We sang that this morning. He cuts across barriers. He cuts across status. He cuts across every division that might be there. He breaks out because he cannot be contained. He is bigger than all those things. Moving on to the second point. They experienced, they encountered the Holy Spirit. My question is, what was it like? And we can explore this much longer. I've only got a little flavor here for you this morning of what it might have been like. In chapter 2, verse 2, it says, suddenly he came. Maybe it means that he chooses his own time and space. We cannot box him in. It says, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Verse 2 says that the whole house was filled. Everywhere they were sitting, the whole house was filled. Verse 3, they saw what seemed like tongues of fire. Verse 4, all of them were filled and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In verse 5, says that God-fearing Jews from every nation, I've already mentioned this, every nation under heaven. I had not quite read that verse the way I read it this time. It means every nation under heaven was represented there. Thy kingdom come. This initiative that has been leading up to today, and also later at Trafalgar Square this afternoon, there'll be a gathering. But it's amazing. They've been saying, it only started in 2016, but the reach of Thy Kingdom Come has cut across not just denominations, but countries. What is God doing? What is God saying there? It's very similar to here, isn't it? Across every nation under heaven was represented there. There is this, the desire of the Holy Spirit of God to reach out to everybody. They spoke in other tongues. Maybe we could have a workshop on that one. I won't dwell on that one too long. It could take me another hour. But have a look from verse 6 to 12. There's plenty in there. And the countries are listed. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said to them that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. He has come by his Spirit to start this. And the evidence is already happening. Jesus is doing mission. If ever we want to learn how to do mission, let's watch what Jesus himself is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing there. He says, he's calling the church. The last things that he says to the church before he leaves is that you will be my witnesses. That's on his heart. To all these places, to the utmost parts of the world. He's desiring to reconcile the world to himself. And then he says, if you don't know how to do it, I will show you how to do it. So the Holy Spirit comes. Comes when? When they are all gathered. Comes in what way? Gives them the ability to speak in other tongues that the others who are looking out and hearing them can recognize their own language there. He's reaching out to each one. And he meets each of us, each of those people, in a way that they get. It's like he gets them. He gets them. He does mission. If there are people that sometimes we think are on our list that we're praying for, maybe the five, the whole thing, Thy Kingdom Come was saying, pray for five people. If there are five people that were on your list, and some of those people, the names you would read, you think, I don't think there's any way that I can communicate the gospel to this person. Well, the Holy Spirit can. God can. Because he made them. And he understands their language. And he knows them. He knows the depths of their heart. What was this encounter like in summary? There was boldness in preaching. There were miracles. There's transformation in everyday life. Now I'm going to ask you a question here as I go through this list. If you want to see this here, just shout yes. So don't say shout. Okay. Are you ready? There was boldness in preaching.
Yes.
Do you want to see miracles?
Yes.
Transformation in everyday life. How about this? Gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
You know, the Holy Spirit is here. We said the Spirit is here. He's hearing. If you want this, he says, just ask. Just ask. It's not about us. It's him. It's his church. He's building his church. Do you want to see transformed life in your community?
Yes.
On reflection, if a group of believers lived like this, I think there is no way that they wouldn't attract others. Don't you think? There's no way that a group of believers like that, with the list of those things I've mentioned and much more in Acts, wouldn't attract others to them. They are being a witness without even going out and having to knock on the doors and speaking so much. They're just being who God has called them to be. And that in itself is a witness to him. As I was preparing, my mind was drawn to Moses at the burning bush. You read this in Exodus. And It's amazing what happened to Moses. So Moses was called to this place where there was a burning bush. And Moses, as soon as he arrived, what did he do? He did that, didn't he? And he took off his shoes because the place where he was standing was. He did that. He was arriving and God said, stop. Take off your sandals. Bow down. Because the place where you're standing is holy ground. He was almost making a point to him to say, it's not about you, Moses, it's about me. I've got notes here. I might not exhaust them, and I will not exhaust them. If you would like proper notes, I can give you my script afterwards. You can get that. But I'm sort of just trying to hear what God is saying to us here, and just dwell a little bit longer here. Before all this, they humbled themselves. Those people gathered. They humbled themselves before the Lord. They gathered in repentance and obedience. I don't know what God is saying to you this morning. Maybe he's asking you to open your hands and release something on your heart that's in the way so the Spirit can break out. The Lord is speaking to us all the time and ministering to us. Do we see what he's saying? Do we hear what he's saying? In Matthew, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Desire these things that we've said. Desire the gifts. Desire the Holy Spirit. Lord, thy kingdom come. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. Let me just touch on this last point very briefly. They were rooted in Scripture. We see Peter read Acts chapter 2 verse 16. And he goes chapter 6 verse 16 and 17. And he's quoting from Joel, from the prophet Joel. That's about as much scripture as they had at the time, the Old Testament. That's what they had, but he knew it. And it's as though, as I read through Acts, and you read through all the chapters, the people would recognize, as Peter preached and the others preached, they would recognize the voice of God because they knew the scriptures. They had the scriptures in their hearts. They might not have had apps like we do here, but it's like they spent time in the Word, and they got the Word in there that when somebody said something, they knew exactly what it was. I don't know whether some of you have been or are in the practice or discipline of memorizing scripture. I try not to put people on the spot, but sometimes I can't help it. So I didn't do that at 9 o'clock, but I'll try here. Okay, so, and I'll make it as simple as, if there's any scripture that you know, let's put it this way, that you're comfortable sharing in public, do. If it's one verse. So you can go something like Psalm 1:1 says, and you say it. Okay, anybody? This is not to impress, but just to encourage us. Okay, go on.
Romans 15:13.
Microphone. Thanks, Caroline. Where are you, microphone? Come to the microphone. There we go. Are we on? Yes, we are. Shoes? Right.
Sorry.
It's a name day, so shout your name.
My name's Jade.
Okay.
Rosemary's friend. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Woo! Amen. So you can, when they finish, just shout amen.
Amen.
Okay, which means let that be. And two more minutes. And okay, let's do. Let's carry on. Right, anybody else? Who else? Who else? Who else? The clergy are allowed to take part as well. So there's a hand here. Okay, go on, Jill. All right.
Psalm 121. Yeah. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, creator of earth and heaven.
Amen. You know what those guys did in the early churches? They used to check the scriptures. You don't have to do that now, but as somebody preached, they kind of look up on you. Yeah, that's right. That is. Then anybody else? Yes, your hand was up.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Uh-huh. I shall not want.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Beautiful. Amen. Last one. George.
John 3:16.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. If you're not in the discipline, I hope this is not something that puts you to shame, but more an encouragement, saying, I wish I had that. And we're blessed because we have home groups or connect groups where maybe you could learn together. You could ask somebody and say, Caroline, you managed to quote Psalm 1:1. No, you didn't. But you, and then say, teach me, how can I do the same? The other question I had is, how do you manage to read your Bible? There are so many different ways or devotionals or apps that you could use. We pushed 5x5x5 here at the beginning of Lent, and maybe you found that helpful. It has notes taking us throughout the year in the New Testament. Maybe that's something you could do. Last week, as part of Thy Kingdom Come, Steve mentioned the 6:10, praying the Lord's Prayer, and some people have shared stories of how that's worked well for them. Maybe you could say 10 minutes throughout the year, for 10 minutes a day, you could stop and try and do something like maybe start with the Lord's Prayer. Do the 5x5x5. And then stop and say, come, Holy Spirit, and make space for him. And see what happens.